We come to our third exercise, and we begin as usual with the word, "Come unto me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, all you that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The word we are contemplating in this exercise, "Abide in me and I in you," comes from that section of St. John, which is called in the subheadings of some Bible versions, "Farewell Discourses," a passage of some four chapters and a bit, which John places at the table of the Last Supper. Some 12 years ago, Bishop Stephen Verney wrote a remarkable and illuminating book on St. John's Gospel, which he called "Water into Wine." I thoroughly commend it to you, not least because in many ways it's very close to Robert Coulson's teachings. Let me quote by way of example. "The name of God is I Am. The word God speaks is I Am. In the beginning, when time began, I Am already was." And again, "Everything in the universe reflects and expresses the I Am of the Creator." Now, Bishop Verney calls the chapters of the Farewell Discourses the turning point of the Gospel, which is also the turning point of human history. In them is expressed that love which moves the whole universe. He tells us that there is one word which keeps recurring, the word "dwelling." It occurs 5 times in chapter 14, preparing us for the great image in chapter 15 of Christ dwelling in us as we dwell in him. "Abide in me and I in you." In fact, the word "abide" or "dwell" occurs no less than 94 times in the whole Bible. That's what my computer tells me. 51 times in the Old Testament and 43 in the New Testament. In the New Testament, the Greek word invariably used is "menein," which with its corresponding noun "mone," abode, dwelling place, Stephen Verney says is a rich and beautiful word, meaning basically to stay or to wait. Our word "remain" comes from it. When one hears the word "abide," one almost inevitably thinks of the hymn "Abide with Me." Sung at innumerable funerals, it brings a sense of comfort to those who mourn. Every verse contains the word "abide." "Help of the helpless, O abide with me. O thou who changest not, abide with me. Through cloud and sunshine, O abide with me. I triumph still if thou abide with me. In life, in death, O Lord, abide with me." As I was preparing for this exercise, I received the news of the death of a friend in a parish where years ago I was curate. He and his wife and children were very faithful members of his lively church in Smethwick, and they still are today. However, Norman's rather sudden death has left them all devastated. It's at a time like this that real abiding has to take place. And I'm sure his family will feel that sense of abiding through the love and support of family, friends and church just now, even if for a time they're too numb to experience the Lord's direct presence. Indeed, in life, in death, O Lord, abide with me. Let us, in silence, take this word into our minds. Abide in me, and I in you. Abide in me, and I in you. In using this word, abide in me and I in you, it is helpful to think of the context in which it is set. It occurs in that graphic passage which begins, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman, giving us that wonderful illustration of us human beings as branches of Christ, the living vine. Stephen Verney has a splendid description. Here is the last great image of I am, the vine with its roots in the earth, dependent upon the farmer, and its every branch producing bunches of grapes which will be crushed and made into wine to bring joy to those who drink it. What a contrast to that other picture we have of the vine in Isaiah 5, where the prophet laments over its non-productivity. I will sing for the one I love a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it, and cut out a wine press as well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. Now you dwellers in Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done for my vineyard than I've done for it? When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? Now I will tell you what I am going to do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it will be destroyed. I will break down its wall, and it will be trampled. I will make it a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated, and briars and thorns will grow there. I will command the clouds not to rain on it. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are the garden of his delight. And he looked for justice, but saw bloodshed, for righteousness, but heard cries of distress. This parable of the unproductiveness of the house of Israel is a salutary reminder to us. Israel did not know Jesus and had no strength on which to draw. It is our task as his disciples fully to abide in him, so that his life and truth flows through us and that we may bear much fruit. But we note that we need to be pruned. Every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. It is essential that we are purged of our self-centeredness, so that we may become more and more Christ-centered. It's no good producing masses of leaves, but no fruit. The vine at home in my conservatory is just now producing its new crop of leaves. It'll be a lovely shady place to sit in summer. But if by the autumn there is no fruit, I shall not be pleased. We'll have to think seriously whether it ought to be kept. As we now come to use this word and take it into our hearts, let us think where it should lead us in the words of verse 8. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Abide in me, and I in you. Abide in me, and I in you. We come now to make this word work for us. As we do so, we realize the security that we ourselves have of abiding in Christ. And so in a moment we shall remember in our intercessions all those without that security, and those who have the false security of being dependent on people or things which have no firm foundation. So we bring before God, I am the homeless, both those in this country, there are many of them, in most of our cities and big towns, and also those in countless countries abroad. You who are homeless, abide in me, and I in you. Let us pray for displaced persons, either forcibly moved away from their homes, or those who are refugees. We think, for instance, of so many living in the former Yugoslavia, who, because they're either Serbs or Croats or Muslims, have had to move away from their own homes, where they've lived for many years, into an enclave of people of the same nationality. You displaced persons, abide in me, and I in you. We pray for those living under totalitarian regimes, those where a knock at the door will mean a member of the family taken away, where the slightest failure to toe the line means punishment. All you who suffer under these conditions, abide in me and I in you. We thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for your unsearchable riches, poured forth from you as light from the sun, in boundless generosity, whether accepted, rejected, or ignored. And now, as we seek to abide in your Son, Jesus Christ, we offer to you ourselves, insofar as we are able, as an emptiness to be filled with your divine fullness, all that we have, all that we are, and all that we do, that we may bear fruit in his name, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.